Shabbat shalom. Welcome to Keila Tinuva, the harvest. We are a messianic, charismatic congregation of Jews and Gentiles who believe that Jesus is the long-awaited King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Savior of the world. And we also believe that the Torah is a way of life for everyone who believes in Him. So welcome to those here today and to those who are listening via live streaming. If you're watching us via live streaming, know that this service is made possible to you by your prayers and financial giving. So please don't forget to donate, help us continue to fund this ministry, and take the glory of Yeshua and the Torah of Moses throughout the world. Thank you for your donations. Okay, so today I want to talk about making the mission of Jesus our mission. So what was the mission of Jesus, right? And is this really our mission too? Join us in discovering what we corporately are called to do as followers of Jesus. So last week we talked about proclaiming the excellencies of God. And the number one, first and foremost excellency of God is what? Actually, is who? Jesus, the Messiah. Jesus, the Son of God, Yeshua HaMashiach, the risen one, who has become the Savior of the world, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the excellencies of the Most High God. And second, the Torah as modeled by Yeshua and the apostles. This is the excellencies of our King. So today we're going to talk about making the mission of Jesus our mission. So the first thing we're going to do is kind of think through this idea of mission. What is mission? What does mission mean? If we were to ask that question, really, it answers another question. Mission answers this question. Why do we exist? When you think of why do we exist and work through that, you'll discover our mission. It answers that question. So what is our purpose as a group, and what are we supposed to be doing? So in order to answer that, we must look to our founder and to our leader, Jesus, the Messiah. Messianic Judaism, the Judaism of Messiah, is our Judaism. We look to him. He is our rabbi. There is no other, right? And our Judaism is different than rabbinic Judaism. We don't spend time delving into rabbinic Judaism. Our Judaism is the Judaism of the Messiah, not the rabbis. And so we focus on what Jesus is doing and saying. In fact, the apostolic scriptures is the very lens by which we interpret the Torah of Moses. It's the interpretive lens. If we're to understand the Torah and how to live it out, and we go to Messiah, Yeshua the Messiah, to find out what the Torah means and how we are to live it out. This is the genius of Messianic Judaism. So, Jesus' mission is our mission. And what was his purpose? What was his agenda? What was and is his work? If we can discover that, we can discover our mission, our purpose, in our work. If our mission, the mission of every local church, and when I say our mission, I'm talking about us as a local church among other local churches, but every local church has a vision and a mission. And if our mission is not in harmony with his, then we must change it. We must change it, right? See, his mission has been given to us, and we're representing him and his work. We exist to represent him and do the works that he did. That's what he told his disciples. He said, you see these works that I do? You think that's something? You're going to do them too. And not only will you do the works that I do, you'll even do greater works than I do because I go to the Father, and whatever you ask in my name, this I shall do. So let's take a closer look. If Jesus' mission is our mission, what was his mission? Jesus was the prophesied Savior to Israel first, and then to the nations. Let me read one of those prophecies. It's Isaiah 49, verse 5. It says, "And now the Lord says, He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, that Israel might be gathered to him." The flow of this verse is a prophecy about Messiah. And the Messiah is speaking. And he says, "Now the Lord says, He who formed me," speaking of the Messiah. It's Messiah here, Jesus here. The pre-incarnate one says, "He who formed me in the womb to be his servant." Messiah came and took on human flesh and blood. When he was in Miriam's womb being woven together, he was being woven together for the express purpose of having a body, because he would be the Mashiach and make atonement for Israel. "He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him." Israel was alienated from God through her sin and rebellion, cut off, separated, divorced, put away. God says, "I'm going to raise up my son. He'll take on human flesh and blood, and I'm going to send him to bring the sons of Jacob back to me." That's the mission of Messiah. The mission of Messiah is to go and seek and save the lost house of Israel. Goes on to say, "and that Israel might be gathered to him." And why? Because she was scattered. He scattered her for her rebellion. He scattered her throughout the earth. And he says, "I'm going to send my son, the Messiah, and he's going to take on human flesh and blood, and he's going to seek and save all Israel who was lost." This is an ancient prophecy concerning Jesus. Now it goes on to say in verse number 6, he says, "Is it too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob?" How many tribes? 12. The physical descendants of Jacob are manifest in the 12 tribes. They are Israel. He says, "I'm sending you to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I'll make you," speaking to his son, "I'm going to make you a light for the nations." You're going to become a source of revelation for the nations. When the nations see what you've done with my people, they too will put my trust in me. They too, through you, will trust in me. First the Jews, then the Gentiles. He goes on to say, "I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach the end of the earth." Why? Because that's where he scattered them. Who? The descendants of Jacob. Israel was scattered to the ends of the earth. He sent his son to come and save and gather them once again. And so the gospel is going to go to the ends of the earth so that God doesn't lose one seed of the children of Israel. That's amazing in every way when you think about it. It's a great plan, right? To the Jew first, and also to the Gentiles. Now, for the Messianic Jews, the believing Jews, we want you to know, God has not forgotten the Gentiles either. The Gentiles are in view too. It's to the Jew first. We're here to say, as Messianic Gentiles, we're here now, and we're not leaving. So please, make room at the table for us. We're not going anywhere, right? And Messianic Gentiles, we need to get off our anti-Semitic horses. Quit looking down at the Jews. Quit judging the Jews for this or for that. But rather love our Jewish brothers and sisters from our hearts. God is putting all of this together, to the Jew first and also to the Gentiles. This is the mission of Messiah. Now, Jesus' ministry, we're going to look at that. We're going to discover it's in harmony with these prophecies. And there's many more just like this that describe this very mission over and over and over. And this mission is going to go to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles. So let's look at this. We're going to look at the Gentile woman. A Gentile woman who encounters Messiah, tries to get his attention, has a number of needs that are pressing, really in a state of panic. And this is a fascinating story, but we're going to discover this whole principle that God works with the Jewish people first and then through them to the nations. Matthew 15, 21 through 23. Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. And a Canaanite woman from that region came out and began to cry out, saying, a Canaanite woman, a Gentile woman, a woman that had no physical DNA from Jacob. Okay, when I talk about Israel, we're talking about the physical descendants of Jacob. So she's a Gentile, no clan identity, no tribal identity outside of Israel. Canaanite woman from that region came out and began crying out, saying, have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. That's a messianic title. She knows who he is. His fame has spread throughout Israel already. Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed. But he did not answer her a word. Now you think about that. She's in desperation, panic-stricken, her child demon-possessed. She knows he can set her free. His fame has spread everywhere. This is what he does. So she comes. She encounters him, and she cries out. She pleads with him, and he ignores her. He will not listen to her. His disciples came, implored him, saying, send her away, because she keeps shouting at us. Well, of course she's shouting. She's desperate. Can you imagine the stress in her life, the love of a child who's demon-possessed? And yet Jesus himself is ignoring her. And they're saying, send her away. Now, you know the rest of the story. You know, and he basically does meet that need, but it's an anomaly. He basically says, look, I've come for Israel, not the Gentiles. I'm going to make this exception to the rule because your faith is so great. But by and large, stay away. Salvation is of the Jews. It's a Jewish thing. Now, I know that bothers us, but it's to the Jew first. That's the plan of God. Matthew 15, verse 24, it goes on to say, but he answered and said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. There's his answer. He tells her, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Again, the physical descendants of Jacob. The house of Judah and the house of Israel, the 12 tribes. I want to remind you, conversion cannot change your DNA. You can go through a conversion, but that's not going to give you Jewish DNA. You will never have Jewish DNA. If you don't have Jewish DNA, you don't have it, right? He says, I've come for the physical descendants of Jacob. I've come to seek and to save the lost house of Israel. It's an amazing story. Let me move on forward. Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 through 8. These 12 Jesus sent out after instructing them, do not go in the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter any city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You can keep that up for a moment. Why? Why does he say that? Don't go in the way of the Gentiles and don't enter the city of the Samaritans. You know what the Samaritans were? They were half-breeds. They were half Jewish and half Gentile. They didn't have full status as Jewish people. And he's saying, don't go to those who don't have any identification with the 12 tribes of Israel. And don't even go to those who have some identification and lineage. I was sent to seek and to save the lost house of Israel. That's it. Pay attention. That's your focus group. That's the target audience. Go get them. The Gentiles, of course, they come later. Matthew 10, verses 7 through 8, he says this, as you go, preach. As you go, preach, proclaim, get ready to share what I've given you to share. saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's the gospel. Jesus arrived sharing the good news of the kingdom of God. It's called the gospel of God. And the gospel of God is the long-awaited kingdom. The rule and reign of the Father has come in and through his Son. This is the good news. We're moving into the prophesied, promised kingdom of heaven, where the rule and reign of God is, where the love of God, the peace of God, the reconciliation of God, the atonement of God, the provision of God, all these things that we yearn and long for, it's arrived. When Jesus came, the kingdom came. So go and preach the good news that the kingdom of heaven is here at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Those are the earmarks of the kingdom. How do we know that the kingdom is here? Because the sick are healed, the dead are raised, lepers are cleansed, and demons are cast out. It's been pointed out over and over and over that with every healing, with every, you know, deliverance, you have the kingdom of God advancing in the earth as the kingdom of hell is being pushed back. The kingdom advances and the kingdom of darkness retreats. And the evidence is healings, casting out demons, cleansing lepers. Freely you've received. Many of you have received from God some of these special mercies and graces. We're the recipients of that. He says, since you've received, go and give in like. You received it freely by grace. Go and give it freely by grace. This is the mission of the Messiah. And he turns around here and he says, I want you to go and do this. Join me in accomplishing it. It's amazing to watch the ministry of Jesus early on. He goes out, he gathers a group, tells them, follow me, and then they follow him. And then he goes and he heals the sick, he casts out demons, he cleanses lepers. And what do? They watch and they listen as he goes and does the stuff. And then at a given point, after doing that for weeks, maybe months, then he says, excuse me, Peter and John, up front and center. Now you go do this one, right? And then they go and they do it. And they're not very good at it. But it's quite the learning experience with the teacher right there to support them. And over a period of time, the other disciples are called forward. And they begin doing the stuff. And then after a while, Jesus just steps back and lets them do it. He takes his mission and he gives it to his disciples. And he says, run with it. Let's do this. In fact, I want to give you the quote at the end in case I don't get there, because I never really get there. But if I can go all the way to slide 63, thank you. It's an old African proverb. If you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. Jesus wanted to go far, to the ends of the earth. So he gathered a vast amount of people, made them disciples, and said, join me in this, and we'll take it to the ends of the world. It's amazing. Giving his mission away, empowering others to do it. So in summary, what did he do? He came to gather, rescue, save, deliver, and raise up the 12 tribes of Israel who were lost to the kingdom of darkness through their own sins and rebellion. In addition, he came to rescue, save, deliver, and gather the Gentiles too. And he took those Gentiles that he was saving and he gathered them to those already gathered, Israel. He took what he already gathered and added to it. He took the Gentiles and added them into the group he already gathered and made them one. One God, one flock, one shepherd, one Israel, enlarged now by the Gentiles who were brought into her through faith in the Messiah. Everyone got alienated, even Israel. And then he promised to save Israel and through her redeem everyone else. It's his great plan of salvation. This is the plan of our Father in heaven, our Creator, who lost us through our own sin and rebellion, but has come to reclaim us and to take us back to himself. And it's his Son who is the point person to do this. And his Son says, come and join me. Let's do it together. So let's look at Jesus and how he interprets his own mission. This is Luke chapter 4, and this is where he really begins his actual public ministry. He has spent 40 days in the desert fasting and praying, and now is ready to start his ministry. This is the launch of the ministry of Jesus in the public square. It says, verse 14 of Luke chapter 4, and Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. I cannot say enough how much we need the power of the Spirit. Nothing gets done outside of the power of the Spirit of God in us. Jesus waited and was filled and empowered with the Holy Spirit before he ever started his public ministry. He returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. News about him spread about through all the district. He began teaching in their synagogues and was praised by all. He came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on Sunday. Thank you. Okay, just seeing if you're awake. He entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. And he opened the book and found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down, and the eyes of all of the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. What does that mean? Right? What does that mean? Well, let's look at what he does. Matthew 4:23. Jesus was going throughout all of Galilee. This is very early on when he begins his public ministry. Listen to how it's described. Jesus was going throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. The good news is the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. God's rule and reign, his love, his peace, his atonement, his salvation coming to us through his Son. Jesus is the rule and reign of God coming to us in our world on earth as it is in heaven. He came proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. So what was his methodology? Think about it. It was proclamation and demonstration. He proclaimed and he demonstrated. Sometimes he demonstrates and then he proclaims on the heels of it. But it's always proclamation, demonstration. Proclamation, demonstration. The most effective means of reaching this world for Messiah is by doing the Father's work and proclaiming the good news of the rule and reign of God in and through Jesus. That is what we do. The law and the prophets, the Torah, was until John the Baptist. But after that, the kingdom of God has arrived. The Torah takes a secondary place as the kingdom becomes front and center in emphasis and in action. This is the kingdom of God. Has come and many, many, many people are rushing to get into it. This is our mission. This is what we're called to do, to proclaim that the kingdom of God has come in Jesus and is still coming. It's been inaugurated and it's growing. It's going to be consummated when he comes again, When Jesus comes again, then the fullness of the kingdom will be with us. But make no mistake about it, it already began 2,000 years ago. And you can become part of the kingdom through faith in Jesus today. The Jew first and also the Gentile. It's amazing. It is good news. So Matthew 4, 24 through 25. The news about him spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all who were ill, those suffering with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. Large crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis and Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. Why did they follow him? Because he healed them. He rescued them. He met them in their crisis and he showed them the way out. And for that, not only did they follow him, they went and told everyone else that was panic-stricken in a bad place and said, "We found the Messiah. He is the answer for all of our challenges. In him is the love of God. In him is the rule and reign of the Father. Come and see." That's evangelism. That's evangelism. That works. I'm going to teach a course on evangelism. I'm really excited to do that this year. The summer months are the best months for getting out and sharing our faith. And it's all about what I'm talking about here. Learning to demonstrate the love of the Father and to proclaim. It is easier than we've ever imagined. I'm going to teach the least stressful way to share your faith. Just simply being aware of people around you and what they're going through. Just talking in conversation about who they are, their life, their story. And then whatever it is they're really, really struggling with, just simply saying, "Hey, can I pray for you?" Demonstration, right? Can I pray for you? What is it that I can pray for you about? Knowing this, you don't have to meet the need. The need's too big for you and I to meet anyway. All we're doing is being a priest, a go-between them and God. We're saying, "Okay, God, get ready. Here's someone that has a big need. I'm pray for them because I'm going to trust you to meet their need. And I know you're going to do that." You know why? Because you love them and you're trying to save the world. And you're doing that through grace and mercy, acts of kindness, compassion. I'm just going to join you in the journey. Now, is that not like the best way to do evangelism? It still can be intimidating, that's right. But isn't that like, that's like, man, let's do that. That's the kingdom of heaven in action. Jesus' mission is our mission. Jesus is calling us to join him today, our congregation, in a much greater way than ever before in fulfilling his mission. Let's look at Luke chapter 10. We'll work down through this passage. I'll look at verse 1 and then 8 and 9, and we'll get an idea of what Jesus does in terms of equipping people. It says, "Now after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them in pairs ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat what is set before you." Eat whatever they set before you. That could be problematic, can't it? What happens if it's a lobster tail? Don't worry. It won't be. If you look at the text, it's Jews going to Jews. Okay? So chill. We'll talk about how to get around, you know, the issue of dietary laws later. But suffice it to say, Jews going to Jews because he came to save the lost house of Israel. Eat whatever they set before you and heal those in it who are sick. Your job is to go. Your job is to be my front person and go. Represent me. Heal the sick. What is your job? Heal the sick. Find people that are sick. Find sick people. Guess what? The good news is most of us are sick. It's America. Our diets have made us sick. We got all kinds of problems, right? We do. And then you got all the other things that go along with sickness too. You got mental illness, which is a real pervasive issue in our culture as well. all kinds of mental issues going on as well. I'm telling you, that's the way the world's always been. It's a broken place. Due to sin and alienation, we are a broken people. Almost everyone needs some kind of healing. So Jesus says, go, and your job is to heal the sick. Man, I love that. Now, obviously, you and I don't heal anyone. It's the Spirit of God in us. All we're called to do is pray for them. What's your problem? What are you struggling with? Can I pray for you? Just pray that God's presence would come. Pray that God's presence would heal them. Just labor a little bit as you pray for them. And know this, that God will make good on his word. Healing will come to them either there and then, or within hours, or within weeks or months. Sometimes people wait for years, but God will come to them. Sometimes we're going to die first, but ultimately we all get healed, right? We're just trying to get that a little bit here in our time versus in the age to come. But the promise of God is he's going to make all of us whole and healthy. So he says, go heal the sick and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. The reign and rule of the Father has graced your home. The presence and love of God has brushed your life today. He's close. He's near. And then you springboard from there, if they're open, to leading them into a personal relationship with Jesus so that they too can enter into the fullness of the kingdom of heaven through faith in Jesus. That's evangelism 101. I love this. My daughter had a dream when she was about 8 years old. She had a lot of angelic activity over her life, my oldest daughter, and she had some encounters with heaven, very powerful encounters. And I remember one time she had this encounter, and she ended up coming to her room. She had her shirt. She pulled and put her arms inside, and she was acting all goofy, and we opened up the door of our room. It was about midnight or whatever, and it's like, what are you doing? I could tell she was all worked up. She says, there's an angel in my room. I said, really? Yeah, he's in my room. I said, well, what's he look like? Well, he's just really big, and he won't go away. And even when I close my eyes, he's still there. Yeah. So I had hair that stood up there. I said, go back to your room. I said, go. Maybe he's still there. Ask him some questions. Go back and ask him some questions. So she did. She went and asked him some questions. Then we went in later and talked with her. But one of the times that she had a vision from the Lord came to her and showed her a vast amount of people. And she says, Dad, there was more than you could ever count. It was like endless, an endless amount of people, just a sea of people. And the Lord told her, go and tell them all about me. Go. Your job is to go tell all those people all about me. She says, I was just looking at all the people, thinking, man, there's so many people. And then he bowed down next to me and whispered in my ear, and be sure to do it the way my disciples did it. Why? Because there's 1,000 different ways to do evangelism. And some of them are very painful and unproductive. But the way the disciples did it, I loved it. I said, you know what that means, honey? You know what that's all about? That's about a casual, natural representation of the love of God, where you just look for needs that you can pray for, and then God does the signs and the wonders. I said, that type of evangelism is fun. You're going to love that. And that's what we're called to do. I love that. So we'll talk more about that in our class that we're going to do here. Wow, we're out of time, huh? We'll have to pick this up next week. I'll give you one more verse, Luke 10:17. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. They came back. He sent them out. They just prayed for people, and then signs and wonders happened, power encounters between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And they were thrilled. It was such an adventure. They came back, they said, we can't believe it. Even the powers of the underworld obey us. Who are we? They obey us. And he said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Amen. Authority coupled with power and some training is what's going to get the job done. The serpents and the scorpions, they represent Satan and his hordes who lord over the lost. We're going to talk about this in the weeks ahead, do a class on it. I'm excited. I hope you'll come and join my class. In the meantime, please rise for the Aaronic benediction. Shabbat shalom.
And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his son, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May Yahweh lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And we add, in the name of Yeshua our Messiah, the Prince of Peace, so they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Receive now the name of Yahweh.
Yivarechecha Yahweh ve'yishmerecha. Yaher Yahweh panav alecha ve'yihunecha. Yisa Yahweh panav lecha vayasem lecha shalom.
B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar HaShalom, Shabbat Shalom.